All right, 2 Peter chapter number 1. I want to look at a verse of Scripture here in verse 10. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. Look at it. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence, that means work at it, to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. If there's anything in this world that's important, you need to make sure that you belong to Jesus and you're going to heaven when you die. I want to preach this morning on the subject, seven ways to miss heaven. Seven ways to miss heaven. Now, ladies and gentlemen, everybody who believes they are going to heaven is trusting something to get them there. One of the most, I guess the most terrible thing that I could ever imagine would be to feel like you as a Christian your whole life and then die and wake up and see demons and smell smoke and wind up in hell fire. That's awful. That's the awfulest thing I can imagine. You know, if a man knows he's going to hell all his life, that's bad. But I tell you what would really be bad is to think you're saved your whole life and then wake up in hell. I guess all of us have had thoughts like that. That'd be horrible. Knowing that you've been to church and heard the Bible preached and you can't never get out and the fire don't never get quenched and you can't never die and there's no relief. And it'd be a madhouse. That's why they call it hell. That's the worst thing you can imagine. You are going to die one of these days. I don't care how strong you are, how healthy you are. We hear about people dying every day. It's going to be our turn. It's going to happen to me. It's going to happen to you. So I want to preach this morning on seven ways, quickly if you'll listen to me, on seven ways to miss heaven. I want to say first of all this morning, you can miss heaven by trusting in a church membership to get you to heaven when you die. You can miss heaven. You will miss heaven if you do that. A lot of folks have the idea. Many. I'm surprised in America, we're supposed to be an educated society, and you would be surprised how many millions of people believe they're going to heaven because they belong to a church somewhere. I've talked to them. I don't know. You can get an education out talking to people. And you just go out, get you a handful of tracts, go in downtown Morganton, Hickory, Marion, Rutherfordton, Statesville, any city you want to go to, and stop the first 50 people you meet and say, are you going to heaven when you die? You would be shocked at the answers that you get. People say, I was raised a Baptist. I've been brought up a Methodist. I've been a church member since I was 10 years old. I was baptized when I was a little kid. I remember going to the altar at Bible school. You'd be surprised at the answers that you get. That people think, there's a lot of people in this world think because I am a member of a church that I'm going to heaven when I die. I know this sounds so base and elementary to some of you, you're almost bored. But I'm telling you people, you'd be shocked if you knew the people that really believe that. You would be shocked. I want to tell you, you're not going to heaven because you're trusting in your church membership. You know, there was a man in the Bible that walked right beside Jesus. He was everywhere Jesus went, he went. Everything Jesus did, he saw. Everything Jesus said, he heard. His name was Judas Iscariot. And he was a dedicated church member. He was right there when they fed the multitude. He was right there when the dead were raised. He was right there when the miracles took place. And Judas never went to heaven when he died. You can belong to the best church. You can hear the greatest choir singing, the best preaching in the country. You can be a part of prayer meetings and still miss heaven when you die. I don't want to miss heaven. I don't want to miss heaven. I'd hate to think we had to go through all this life with all these hard things we go through and then die and go to a worse place than this. I don't want to miss heaven, ladies and gentlemen. I don't want to miss heaven. And I'm not trusting in my church membership. I am a member of this church, Shining Light Baptist Church, this local body of believers. But if I had to die this morning, I wouldn't say, Lord, I'm a member of Shining Light. That don't impress God one bit. It don't matter if you are a member of a church. Did you know Hitler was a Catholic? Did you know that some of the most wickedest, ungodly people in church in history have belonged to a certain church and were never even excommunicated? Do you know that some of the meanest people in the United States are belong to churches? Did you know all these politicians now, they're all Christians. They're all, I mean, Hillary's a Baptist. I mean, they're all, at least she is a Baptist. It's not a good one, but at least she is a Baptist, not a Muslim. And I tell you what, brother, you know, all of them belong to some kind of church, but that church membership will not get you to heaven. I'm telling you, just because you go to and sit in a garage, don't make you a car. And just because you sit in a bakery, don't make you a donut. You'll look like one after a while. But I'm telling you, just because you go to church, don't make you a Christian, ladies and gentlemen. You are trusting in church membership. You will not go to heaven when you die. You don't go to heaven because you join a church. If that's all it took, I'd just go out all week long and recruit people. Join the church, join the church, join the church. But I don't do that. You know why? Because that church membership, all it does is put your name on a book down here. It don't put your name in God's book there. You'll miss heaven by trusting your church membership. I want to say secondly this morning, you miss heaven by trusting the best you can do. I have talked to hundreds of people. I say, are you going to heaven when you die? And they say, Brother Danny, pastor, preacher, reverend, they call you all kinds of names. They say, I'm doing the best I can. And they got it in their mind that if you're trying to do right, then that's acceptable to God. A lot of people believe that. I risk boring some of you folks because you've been in church so long that you think, oh, come on, preacher, who don't know that? You'd be surprised who don't know that. You would be shocked at the people living right around here within a quarter of a mile who think, I'm doing the best I can. I pay my bills. I try to treat people right. If I hurt somebody, I apologize to them. Then God will accept me. I'm not a bad person. I'm doing the best I can. Ladies and gentlemen, that is not enough. The best you can do is not enough. You can the best you can do may not work. I heard about this on the news. I just caught the part of it as on the news day before yesterday that somebody had a dog, big old black, looked like a Labrador or retriever or something like big, just looked like a big black dog. I couldn't see what kind it was. And this guy was going to the Super Bowl tonight, and his dog Buddy ate 2 Super Bowl tickets. That cost him $2,000 a piece, something like it. Did anybody see that on the news? Anybody? There's several that did. And you know what? That old dog just running through the house like he had good sense and ate that fella's Super Bowl tickets. I thought that was the funniest thing. I think that's funny, man. That guy liked to had a heart attack. Several $1,000 he had paid. That dog thought he was doing good. They probably had him put to sleep by now, I'm sure. Had surgery and took them things out, and glued them back together. I don't know what they done. They made them good or what. But I tell you, a lot of people think that. They think, well, I'm doing good. You have no clue how you stand before God. You don't go to heaven by doing the best you can. You don't go to heaven. I want to say, first of all, that's a farce anyway. You ain't doing the best you can. One man told a preacher one night, preacher said, are you saved? He said, I'm doing the best I can. He said, have you ever trust the Lord and Savior? He said, no, I'm doing the best I can. He said, well, the best thing you can do is trust Jesus as your Savior. If you ain't done that, you ain't doing the best you can. Amen. If a man ain't got saved, he's not doing the best he can. The best thing you can do is get saved. Amen. If you ain't done that, you ain't doing the best you can. Quit lying. Amen? You say, well, I'm doing the best I can, preacher. No, you're not. I want to say thirdly this morning, I'm going to give you these 7, we're going to go. I want to say thirdly this morning, you'll miss heaven by going and trusting in a civic club, a lodge, or another organization. We have thousands and tens of thousands of do-gooders who belong to these clubs. And you know how come it's so easy to belong to a club and not to a church? The devil don't fight them clubs. The devil don't fight the lodge. He couldn't care less what you do with them. And that's why he hates for you to be a part of a church. He don't care if you're a civic club. The Bible said we're not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Many people belong. They always give them animal names. Moose, elk, goose. I don't know what all they are. Tigers, lions, bears, this club, that club. And a lot of these men think, you know what? We do good in our community. We give our money. We help little children, well, all that's fine and well. I ain't nothing wrong with helping somebody, but I'm telling you, you'll miss heaven. You'd be shocked if the people say, well, I was raised in church, but I've seen how they fuss and argue down there, and they can't get along with each other. I do my good down there at the lodge. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. You don't go to heaven because you're a member of a lodge. You don't go to heaven because you're a member of a civic club. That gains you no points before God whatsoever. If you want to do some good, let me tell you how to do some good. Get in a Bible-believing church. Get your heart right with God. Put your money into souls. If you put your money into a club, they might build a house for somebody. They might help a burned child. And that's good. That's good. I think we ought to help burn children. But you know what's helping them better? Keeping them from burning forever and ever and ever in hell. You ain't going to beat that. You can't do no greater good than to put your money in God's Word. But that still don't take you to heaven when you die. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus never died for the lodge. Jesus didn't die for the club. Jesus ain't coming back after a lodge. He died for the church, and He's coming back after the church, and He works through His church, and the church is the only organism, not organization, organism on this planet that God has promised to bless, and that's the church. You'll notice in your bulletin this morning, there's a statement there about how that the church keeps going on regardless. I wrote that the other day, and I got to thinking about how in the face of danger, in the face of atheism, in the face of national wars, in the face of economic breakdown, in the face of moral collapse in this world, there's still thousands and thousands that keep reading their Bible and keep praying and keep going to church. And I know that John Lennon said 40-something years ago, back in the 60s, John Lennon said Christianity will go. He said it'll vanish and shrink. They thought rock music was going to take over the world and that Christianity was going to become extinct. He was wrong. You know who shrunk? John Lennon did. You know who vanished and gone? John Lennon did. There's still people preaching that Bible. There's still people going to church. There's still people going to heaven. There's still people believing singing the old song. There's still people that believe in heaven and hell. There's still people that believe that Jesus is coming soon. I'm telling you this morning, this is what Jesus died for. The church, ladies and gentlemen. The church. You can't be a part of anything any greater than the church. God have mercy on a woman who thinks Tupperware party is more important than a church service. God have mercy on a man who thinks a civic club meeting is better than a church service. You can do more good in a Bible-believing church, putting your money and time into souls, than all the religious or unreligious organizations in this world. Amen. You don't go to heaven by trusting in a civic club. Number four, you don't go to heaven trusting in money or riches. You don't have enough money to buy God's forgiveness. It can't be bought. Salvation can't be bought with money. The Bible said we're redeemed not with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. People who believe money will do anything for money. You can mark it down. Amen. I heard about this man who died and he had a lot of money. And they said he had it in boxes and he had it in chests and he had it in the old thing locked up. And his relatives were standing around his bed waiting on him to die. Isn't that awful? Isn't that awful? You know what you ought to do? Fool them. Will it to the church. I believe that. I don't see there's anything wrong. I don't think there's anything wrong with giving your kids something when you die. We studied this other night on Wednesday night. But most of your kids will waste what you worked for your whole life. You might as well say amen. Most of them never had to work for it. That's what's wrong with this generation, by the way. You know what's wrong with our generation? Our generation, my daddy and my mom, they had it rough growing up. And ladies and gentlemen, our generation before us, they had it rough. My mom said when they lived up on Jonas Ridge, sometimes, I told you the other day, they'd have to cut some of the wood off the porch and burn it in the fireplace, keep from freezing to death. They had nothing to eat many times. My daddy said he had stood outside many a time and wished somebody would invite him in to eat supper and he had nothing to eat. They had it hard. So what happened was our parents came up and you know what they said when all of us were born? They said, my kid ain't going to have to do like I did. I'm going to make sure they got more. And they ruined us. And they give us so much, brother, that we just thought everything ought to be handed to us all the time. And as a result, our parents didn't mean to, but they ruined us. We're spoiled rotten. We think everything ought to be handed us on a silver platter. We think, boy, the government owes us a living. We think, Mom and Daddy, it would do our kids good, probably, if we said, you know what? I'm making out my will, and I'm going to leave it to missionaries. I'm going to leave it to a church to build something for kids. I'm going to use it for God. I'm telling you, if you trust in your riches to get to heaven, it'll never take you there. Put it to work for God and trust Jesus to take you to heaven. Amen. Trusting in riches. Somebody said, if a man that sets his heart on money will be disappointed whether he gets it or not. Riches profit not, the Bible said, in the day of wrath. Somebody said, the poorest man I know, John D. Rockefeller said this, the poorest man I know is a man that has nothing but money. The poorest man I know is a man that has nothing but money. The Bible said we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can't take nothing out. When you die, your money don't mean nothing. Give some of it to your kids and give it to God. We had a guy, I preached that one time up in Marion, and as a man took me serious, he said, Brother Danny, he said, come over to the house, I want to talk to you. I said, okay. I went over to the house, he said, you know what? I ain't got no kids, my relatives, they all doing pretty good and everything. He said, I'm willing my house to your church. And I said, praise God, brother, you're doing the right thing. He's still alive, and they're all still waiting on him to die. But anyway, he said, I'm willing the house to the church. You say, well, that's crazy. No, it ain't. Because when he gets to heaven, he'll get a reward for everything that he give to God. The only thing you can keep is what you give to God. Everything you do for yourself, you wind up losing anyway. Amen? So the Bible said trusting in riches will not get you to heaven. Let me say number five this morning. Let me say fifthly this morning. Trusting in the Ten Commandments will not get you to heaven. They couldn't get you to heaven if you kept them all, and you ain't. I know people say, well, preacher, I'm living by the Ten Commandments. I want to say this morning, if you did, and you're not, but if you did, it ain't going to get you to heaven. The law was our schoolmaster, the Bible said, to bring us to Christ. The law just shows us we need to be saved. The law don't save you. It just shows you can't make it without a Savior. That's all the law can do. The Bible tells us by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now listen, that book said if you broke the least commandment, you're guilty of all. I've heard a lot of people say, oh, did you hear about so and he broke one of the Ten Commandments? Well, duh. I can tell you everybody in here has broke about every one of them, probably all of them. No, I have not preached. Hold it. Hold it. God said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. He didn't say no other gods beside me, like Brother Derrick said. He said, none other before me. Have you ever loved something more than you loved him? Yes, you have. God said, thou shalt not kill. You say, I ain't never killed nobody. The Bible said, if you hate your brother in your heart, you're a murderer. If you hate somebody, you ever hated anybody? Yes, you have. You say, I don't hate nobody, but I really don't like so-and-so. Okay. I know that. I know how that is. You just change the definition of the word. I mean, every one of us have had hate. I've had hate. This boy done me bad wrong one time, and I dreamed one night I was beating him up. Man, I was beating him up. I like that scripture that he used in Sunday school. It's better to give than receive, especially in boxing. Amen? It's better to give than to receive. I want to give him punches, but I don't want to receive them. But you know what? I've had hate from my heart. I've been a murderer. You say, Brother Danny, you've been a murderer? Yeah, I've had hate. I've never physically killed nobody that I know of. But I tell you something, brother, I've hated people. You say, thou shalt not steal. You've paid your tithes ever since you was born, before you got saved? Have you ever sat down on the job when you was getting paid for it? And then when your boss man walked in, jumped up and acted like you started working, you've stole. You've stole. You say, God, is that stealing? Yeah. But they're paying you to work, and you ain't working, you're stealing from them. You say, don't that condemn you? Yeah, it does me. I've done that a lot. We used to lay in a big basket of cloth, and I was saved. You know what I said? They ain't paying me enough anyway. what they get. And when the boss man would come, we'd jump up. I laid in a big basket of cloth over at Lenore and knitting mill and went to sleep on the third shift because my machine would run 20 minutes. And if it didn't tire up, them old knitting machines, you could have about a 10-minute little spot in there. I'd lay back in there, man, I'd be seeing visions and everything. When I was 20 years old and I was a preacher, I was stealing. I prayed the other day about our building over there. Somebody's talking to me about it. And I said, I prayed for all these contractors that we've hired. See, we hired out a lot of this work done, you know, and everything. I said, God, don't let them rip us off. God, convict them. Make them feel guilty. Make them feel guilty if they think about charging us for stuff they ain't done. Or adding on to the heirs just because they need money. Or just because. I said, God, all them men, I ain't going to mention it. Well, some of them's here this morning. I ain't talking about you guys. I said, God, don't let nobody cheat us. See, some people say, this church ain't never know the difference. I'll tack on a couple $1,000 here and all that. That's stealing, man. Thou shalt not steal. You broke that commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to make... holy, that was an angel got under conviction in heaven. Nearly threw up. Hey, man, brother. Listen. Thou shalt remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You know, I don't know if you've ever had try to have church with 300 and something people in 240 chairs and the walls this thin, but you know, we're doing pretty good. That's another reason we need to get our building finished. But anyway, you know what? You say, I ain't never committed adultery. Oh, yes, you have. No, I hadn't, preacher. I've been faithful. Jesus said, if you looked on another person with lust in your heart, you've committed adultery. But you've done that this week, I'm sure. You ain't going to heaven because you're keeping no commandments. You ain't keeping them. And if you did, that still don't get you to heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, if keeping the Ten Commandments could get you to heaven, Jesus wouldn't have died on the cross. He'd have just said, keep them or go to hell. He died because he knew we could. You'll miss heaven by thinking keeping the commandments will take you to heaven when you die. I heard about this guy. Let me tell you what sin will do. I've had people tell me, they say, well, I used to live wicked, but I'm doing good now, preacher. I ain't went out and done nothing crazy in a long time. I quit partying. I quit drugs. I quit drinking. I quit, you know, doing all this crazy stuff. Preacher, I'm straightened up. That still ain't going to take you to heaven. Sin has a way of coming back to bite you. It really does. I read a story. And I don't know if you believe this or not. It was in one of my illustration books. About a fellow out in Texas, and this fellow, his name was Zieglin, Henry Zieglin, and he was going to marry this girl, and him and her got in a big fight, and he dumped her, and she got real mad, and committed suicide, and her brother come after Henry, and said, yeah, you broke my sister's heart, and now she committed suicide, and shot him with a gun, and the bullet just grazed him, and went into a tree. And then the brother went off. He got in trouble for attempted murder or whatever. And then, 20 years later, Henry was out in his yard and he was trying to get some rocks and stumps out and was working around that tree and put dynamite in there. And that dynamite exploded and it ignited that bullet and exploded and went and shot him and killed him 20 years later. You say, boy, that's the worst luck I've ever heard of a man having in my life. That's the way sin is. You think it's gone. You think God's forgot about it. You think nobody knows. Then all of a sudden one day, bam, gets you in the face. You ain't going to heaven by keeping no commandments. You ain't keeping them. Buddy, I don't want to have to face my sins. I want my sins gone. I want my sins gone. Number six. You don't go to heaven, you'll miss heaven by trusting in your good works. The Bible said it saved us according with the holy calling, not according to our works. Nothing else will do. Right, when you die, nothing else will do. I knew of a man who preached the gospel for 50 years, probably way up in his 70s. And I read about this man. They said he was a great man, lived right, helped people, preached for 50 solid years. And he's laying on the deathbed dying. And his son come up. He said, Daddy, He said, Daddy, it won't be long till you see the Lord. Daddy, you've done more good than anybody I know. That's what the man told his daddy. And that man been preaching 50 years, said, don't talk about the good that I've done. He said, I ain't done nothing good. He said, tell me about the blood of Jesus. He said, only the blood of Jesus will do for a dying man. And listen, if that man who preached 50 years, lived right, faithful to his wife, faithful to his family, preached the gospel, if that man did that for 50 years, and when it come time for him to die, if he said, don't tell me about my goodness, tell me about the blood of Jesus, if he had to have it, me and you's going to have it. And I say the same thing, brother. I ain't been preaching 50 years, but I've been preaching 30-something years. And I'm going to tell you, if I had to die today, don't tell me about Brother Danny's preaching when I got saved. Brother Danny did this. Brother Danny helped me. Brother Danny, give me grocery money. I don't want to hear it. Tell me about the blood. You'll go to hell by trusting in your good works. I'm telling you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, trusting in good works will put you in hell. You'll miss heaven. Last thing I want to say this morning, and I'm through. You'll miss heaven by trusting in a later date to get saved. You may be sitting here this morning and say, I know I'm not saved. I've been faking it all these years. Deep down in my heart, I know I'm not ready to meet God, but I'll wait for a later day. You'll miss heaven by trusting in a later day. The Bible said, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You don't realize, brother, how short your time is. You've heard me give this illustration before. I'm going to say it, and I'm a couple things, and I'm done. Let's compare your life this morning to a day. Let's say you got up. Some of you have never got up this early, especially on Sunday. But let's say you got up at 7 o'clock. Now, a lot of y'all didn't get up at 7 o'clock this morning. Your eyes are puffy. You know what you did? You listened to the devil and stayed up half the night. And it's the devil that makes you do that. You get up at 7 o'clock this morning. You're going to die at 11 o'clock tonight. Your life is one day. You listen? On that scale, let's say you're going to live 70 years. Let's say you're going to live 70 years, and most of you won't. If it's 7 o'clock in the morning, 0, 11 o'clock in the evening is 70, and you're going to die somewhere in between. If your life starts at 7 in the morning and ends at 11 at night, if you're 15 years old, it's 25 after 10. Already break time. If you're 20 years old, it's 11:34. If you're 20 years old, it's almost lunchtime. If you're 25, it's 18 minutes to 1 in the afternoon. If you're 30, it's 9 minutes till 2. Now, anybody that works knows that if you work all day long, you've got about a lot of your work done by 2 o'clock. That means if you're 30 years old, you've done put in over half of your time. If you're 35, it's 3 o'clock in the evening. First shift's off. If you're 40, it's 8 minutes after 4. If you're 45, it's 5:16 in the evening. If you're 50, it's 25 after 6. Supper's already over. Breakfast, dinner, and supper's over if you're 50. If you're 55, it's 7:34. If you're 60, it's 18 minutes till 9. If you're 65, it's 9 minutes till 10. And if you're 70, it's 11 o'clock. You don't have no time to waste. And that's saying you're going to live to be 70, and most of you won't. Ladies and gentlemen, you hear me? You'll miss heaven by trusting in a later day. I wouldn't wait till next week. I wouldn't wait till next month. Don't wait till you get some things straightened out. Somebody told me this morning, they said, here in the front, they said, I got to get some things straightened out. You better not wait till you get things straightened out. You ain't going to get straightened out without Jesus. I heard the story, and I'll tell you this, and I've told you this before, but it's for the benefit of those that are not ready. I'm through. This house is on fire. And the fireman got there and people were screaming. The mama was standing outside screaming, "My baby, my baby." She said, I'll grab the young'un to run out. My baby's in the back room. And a brave young fireman got his coat wrapped around him, put on his helmet, had that asbestos suit on, and run right through them flames up the front porch and into the house to rescue that baby. And they were out there screaming, praying that he wouldn't get smoke, and he couldn't see in there. And so he ran into the room, fell his way down, got the baby, wrapped it up in a blanket, held it like this, and run through that fire and outside to the mama. And when he came out, people were cheering. They said the newspaper was out. They're going to put his picture in the paper. He's a hero. He's a local hero. And the mama hugged. She said, "Thank you, thank you." And they wanted to see if the baby is all right. And they unwrapped it like that. And there's a baby doll. And the real baby is in the house, burned to death. You say, "My Lord, preacher, wouldn't that be awful?" Think of how you'd feel if you went to church every Sunday, tried to help people out, claim to be a Christian, and then woke up in hell. And you say, "God, I can't never get out. God, I'm never going to get out of here. Oh, God, have mercy on me. Oh, God, let me out." Ladies and gentlemen, you will miss heaven. You just trusting in the wrong thing. You say, "Preacher, what I got to do to go to heaven?" It's real simple. It's real simple. God made it so a fool or a wayfaring man wouldn't err therein. If you believe this morning that you're a sinner and that you're not good enough to save yourself, and if you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins on the cross and paid for that sin debt, the Bible said you'll be saved when you die. That's it. That's it. Salvation, plain and simple. It's got absolutely nothing to do with joining this church or how good you are. If you'll come and say, "Dear God, I'm a sinner," that excites me this morning. I can shout on that because I know where I deserve to go. I know me. You think I'm bad. I really think I'm bad. I'm worse than you think I am. And I'm worse. You're worse than I think you are. But thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. Because of that, I'm going to heaven when I die. Don't miss heaven, friend. It's going to be too good. Let's stand. Let's stand by our heads for prayer.